1. I take a deep breath and slowly let the air out as my plane begins its descent into Kelowna. I'm not sure what scares me more, landing or visiting Little City for the first time in 3 years. Yes, I've managed to stay away from Little City for 3 years. 3 years. And yes, the town where I grew up is called Little City. Rumor has it my hometown had a proper, fancy-sounding name, but nobody could pronounce it, so the neighboring towns started calling it Little City, and soon the residents did too. My parents have come to see me in L.A. several times since I moved away after my best friend Briar got married and my fiancé dumped me by leaving a note on a cocktail napkin that same night. I think they always thought I was just too busy at my job as a sports publicist in L.A. to take enough time off to make the trip, but I could have, if I wanted to. I didn't. There was no way I was risking running into Ian. The plane touches down smoothly, and my stomach flip-flops a little anyway. I glance out the window as we taxi down the runway toward the airport. I know Ian's not around anymore, but a sinking feeling tells me I should have stayed in L.A. and celebrated Christmas alone, like I have for the last 3 years. Ian's funeral is going to be brutal. It's not exactly how I pictured reuniting with my friends and family. Compared to LAX, the airport is tiny, and it takes 10 minutes for me to disembark and grab my carry-on. I didn't bother packing much because I was looking forward to hiding out at my parents' place, ignoring any work calls. The publicity firm I work for likes us to be available at all times, in case a drunken hockey player needs us to perform damage control in the middle of the night. I sigh. There won't be any of that in Little City, thankfully. Once out of the terminal, I see my parents right away. They're hard to miss in their matching, ugly Christmas sweaters, their usual Christmas Eve attire. Those sweaters make them look like they're in their 60s rather than their 50s, but I keep my mouth shut. What's a little fun on Christmas Eve? I told them I'd grab a rental car so they could enjoy their day, but they wouldn't hear of it. For the love of Pete, Mom's already running toward me, her arms outstretched, tears rolling down her cheeks. Lexi! She yells and swallows me into a hug so tight I can't move. I guess I can't blame her, me being an AOL-only child and everything. I'm so sorry about Ian, she says. Thanks, I whisper. Dad, the quiet one of the two, shuffles to where Mom and I stand, still embracing. Mom has my arms pinned, so I don't have much of a choice in the matter. I nod at Dad and raise my eyebrows. Hi, Dad, I squeak out. Mom drops her arms and I can breathe again. Phew, I was starting to get dizzy. I take a minute to steady myself and look around. The airport is just as I remember it. One tiny baggage claim carousel, two rental car kiosks, and one restaurant. Dad gives me a quiet hug. Good to see you, kid. I'm 25 and completely self-sufficient, yet he says that, and I do feel like a kid. A very small kid. Nice to see you too, Dad. He takes my carry-on from me, and we hurry out to the parking lot past the crowd waiting for their luggage. Dodged a bullet there, packing light. Yes, I did. Once we're on the road, I ask about Ian's funeral. I keep blocking the details as if it's a bad dream. Mom gets quiet and looks at Dad. It's been canceled, she says. That's strange. I never heard of a funeral being canceled. How come? I'm a bit relieved at the news. I wasn't looking forward to seeing Ian's family. They didn't say. Her voice is a little squeaky, and she looks at Dad again. She always did love Ian. The rest of the hour and a half drive to Mom and Dad's is full of Mom nattering about her church and what the service will be like tonight. I don't bother telling her I haven't spent 1 second in church since I left Little City. Not even at Christmas. I only ever went to keep her happy. Dad turns on the radio, and we enjoy some classic Christmas tunes the rest of the way to Little City. From the back seat, I stare out the window, searching for the prettiest light displays. I know we've arrived in Little City when the amount and detail of displays along the highway increases. Little City may be little, but its citizens sure have a lot of Christmas spirit. Without me having to ask, Dad takes the long way home past all the houses with the brightest and best lights. Some things never change, certain neighbors having to outdo each other. The Griswolds ain't got nothing on the citizens of Little City. Look, Lexi, Dad points out his window and slows down. The Larsons have all their reindeer out again this year. I glance out Dad's side of the car. A full team of reindeer line the Larsons' rooftop, and almost every edge of their house has a string of lights on it. Red, green, yellow, blue, even purple. They sure do. I bask in the light as we pass their house. When we pull into Mom and Dad's driveway, I see Dad has modestly decorated their house, possibly for my benefit, compared to the Larsons. Each year I was away, Mom complained over the phone about Dad's one string of Christmas lights outside. He's used at least 10 this year. The house looks great, Dad. He parks the car in the driveway next to the garage, its usual spot. I'll heat up dinner, then we can head over to church. I want to get a good seat, Mom says as she gets out of their dark blue Impala. Heat up dinner? Are we having leftovers on Christmas Eve? Mom shoots me a look. Don't worry, dear. She has this uncanny ability to read my thoughts. I pre-cooked dinner this morning so we wouldn't be late for church. Of course. Wouldn't want to be late for church. As Dad opens the front door, a blast of fresh turkey and sage wafts out. I don't care if dinner is reheated. The heavenly smell of roast turkey dinner is all that matters to me. It's better than anything I'd have made myself back in L.A., and my stomach's growling already. After taking my coat off and hanging it in the front closet, I deposit my carry-on in Dad's office where I'll be sleeping on the pull-out bed. I make a quick stop in the bathroom next door, then head into the kitchen to see if Mom needs any help. Bing Crosby blasts from the stereo, and Mom sings her heart out while scooping potatoes into a china serving bowl. She's put Dad to work chopping salad veggies. It seems a shame to interrupt her singing, so I hunt around for some wine, but then I remember this is an alcohol-free zone and has been ever since Mom and Aunt Flora got into a fist fight the last Christmas I lived here. What a Christmas that was. Too bad. Everything okay, dear? Mom must have sensed my disappointment. Yes, just a little tense from the flight. I rub my neck a little. Before long, Mom has dinner on the table, and when we're seated, she says grace. Mom's always loved going to church on Christmas Eve, but after her big fight with Aunt Flora, she started going every Sunday and doing things like saying grace. Dad gives me a fully loaded sideways look that says, "Yeah, your mother still hasn't talked to your aunt, and we still do these things to make it okay in her eyes." I give him a nod. Does he know what they fought about that Christmas? He took a misdirected punch while he and Ian pulled Mom and her sister apart. That was before Ian became the biggest boob on the planet. Ugh. Oh, Lexi, I almost forgot. My mom draws my attention back to the present. She grabs a box from the kitchen. I got Christmas crackers! Ooh, seems hardly worth it for the three of us, but I do love Christmas crackers. Their gold and silver foil shines as Mom hands one to Dad and me, then places one next to her own plate. I look inside the cracker for the pull tab and grip it firmly, then cross my arms, offering the Christmas cracker to Mom on my right and reaching for Dad's cracker with my right hand. Ready? Mom says. I'm transported back in time as I nod. Then Mom issues her standard Christmas cracker instructions. On three, one, two, three. We all pull hard on our crackers against each other, and our three little crackers pop and snap while bits of ripped paper scatter across the table. If Mom and Dad had a cat, it would have run for cover. Oh, look, Mom says. I got a magnifying glass. An urge to make a snarky comment about Mom's eyesight and, how did the Christmas elves know, pops into my head, but I let it go. I just got here. No need to start a fight just yet. I check the table for my prize while Dad holds up a giant sparkly paperclip.
Not sure what this is about,
he says. It's a bookmark, dear. Mom touches Dad's hand as she says it. She must have splurged on the premium crackers that encourage you to spend more money by showing you on the back of the package what you'll get. Something shiny catches my eye on the floor. Ooh, I say, leaning over in my chair to pick up my prize. I got a pen. I hold it up like it's some kind of trophy. At least it's something useful. I place it on the table next to the fuchsia paper crown that also spewed forth from the Christmas cracker. Put on your crown! Mom flutters her hand in my direction. She's already wearing hers. Dad somehow, accidentally, ripped his so it won't stay on his head. Lucky guy. I put on the crown. My cheeks burn a bit and I feel like I'm 10 again, the last year I remember actually liking these silly crowns. I scan the table hoping a bottle of wine has materialized in the last few minutes. Nope. Dad glances at Mom. Let's eat, he says. Finally, I'm starving. The turkey is directly in front of me, so I load my plate, then pass the platter to Mom. Once my plate is full, I slather all the hot food with gravy. Turkey gravy is the best, especially Mom's.
What's this I hear about a promotion?
Dad asked through mouthfuls of turkey and stuffing. I'd hoped the work conversation wouldn't come up until later. Actually, I'd hoped to make it through my whole 2-week vacation without talking about work. Fat chance, considering it's my whole life in L.A. I nod and finish my mouthful. Should be official next month. I'll have my own office and an assistant, and hours more work to fit in the already swamped work week, but I leave this part out. What about you, Dad? Anything new in the insurance world? Dad raises his eyebrows like he's about to say something when Mom butts in. Your father is becoming quite the computer expert. It's a good thing there's no wine. I may have burst out laughing if I'd been drinking.
I've had to. A dinosaur like me won't survive with everything online now. I take my laptop everywhere.
At least he realizes it's time for a change. Dad's a traveling insurance agent. He's done quite well for himself, since most of the residents of Little City don't want to make the 30-minute drive to Green Rock, where the closest office is. When we finish eating, I help Mom clean up, then get changed for church. I put on a black dress and heels, the same outfit I would have worn to Ian's funeral. By the time I'm ready to go, Dad's got his cherry red 1968 Chevelle, complete with a white racing stripe on the hood and trunk, warmed up and ready to go. It's a beautiful car that usually spends the winters parked in the garage. With all the salt they use on the icy roads around here, I'm surprised Dad wants to take her to church. Is this also for my benefit?
Since we're all dressed up, we might as well ride in style,
he says as I slide into the back seat, careful to keep my coat and skirt from riding up. The drive to and from church in this sweet car almost makes the thought of church bearable. Almost.